You will notice after that song we've got the Bible talk, and the words that I'm going to speak are the words that you have written. So you can follow by reading as well as listening, if that helps you. But before we do that, let's once more ask God in prayer to help us. That's something I like to do whenever I read the Bible, or whenever I listen to someone speaking from the Bible, or reading a book that tells me things in the Bible, because I want God to help me to understand. Let's pray. O Lord God, we thank you for the Bible, your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his life upon this earth, and that he met and talked to and helped many people. But some struggled to accept his help, like the young rich ruler that we will look at tonight. Help us to understand his story, his question. Help us to understand his desire, but also his disappointment. Help us, O Father, to benefit ourselves from what Jesus was saying to that young man. May he say it through this reading of your word to us today. And help us to hear him and not walk away sad, disappointed, but thankful. Thankful for him, for who he is, and for what he has done. We ask this in his name. Amen. Well, as I said, we're looking at the story of a rich young man who was a ruler in a synagogue who went to meet Jesus. And the real big question here is, do I need Jesus? He comes to Jesus with a good question. But what are we told about him first? We are told he is a young man who had everything. He was rich. He had position. He had popularity. People liked him and listened to him. What more could he want? This is the modern dream. And we see it not so modern, because this is what this young man had for his dream too. Maybe this is very much what your life is about. Finding a good job, having good money, good friends, a good family, a good and comfortable life. Life was comfortable for this young man. He was respected. His future looked very bright, very good. Yet for all his success, however, that failed to make him a happy man. He saw that life was much more than those things and that sort of life. Much more than the life we have in this world, this present life that we live. What about when death comes, as it will, and indeed as it does for those? For there are few who, even in early life, are not confronted, do not feel something of death, its reality in people that we love and friends, people we know at school or at work. He knew that when he died, his position, his possessions, his friends would be unable to help him in his afterlife. He was a religious man, we find here, for he was a ruler in a synagogue. He was a moral man. He tried to do what was right in life. But we also see he was a troubled man. Was this enough? Or did he need something extra, something more? He saw the importance of living in this world with an eye thinking about the world to come, the life after this life. He understood that the way to live now is to know how to live after death, that you will live after death, and the importance of preparing for that death now. But we're to get help to bring hope and confidence to this life, even after death. He came to Jesus believing that he, Jesus, could give the answer. We see here that the young man called Jesus good teacher because he respected Jesus and he thought Jesus would be able to give him a true answer. Peace with God had been an important part of Jesus' teaching. And through that teaching, his miracles, as well as the way he spoke with people, Jesus had shown that he knew God in a way that no one else did. Which, of course, is true, for he is the Son of God. So he thought he would ask Jesus what he would have to do to prepare himself for life after death. He ran up to meet Jesus and he asked a good question. Good teacher, what should I do so that I can live for all time? But whilst there was a good question, we also see there was a wrong answer. Jesus answered by asking this young man a question. And it was this way that Jesus was answering his question. Jesus asked why the ruler called him good. Jesus was not saying that he was not good. Jesus was reminding the ruler that only God is completely good. Therefore, if the young man meant, he was wondering if the young man meant that Jesus was good. If he did, he was saying something that was very important about Jesus. But by this, Jesus was saying eternal life is life with the God of absolute or complete goodness. The ruler could not have been as good as God is. Therefore, the ruler should have asked God for mercy rather than how he could earn life for all time. In his teaching, Jesus often pointed to the Ten Commandments or God's rules for a good life, which every human being must approve and obey. Here, Jesus speaks of five good rules. And you saw them there. Do not rob. Don't have sex with someone who's not your wife, or we could add, not your husband. Five of them that speak of our duty to other people. Jesus is not even yet speaking of the rules of our duty to God. As the young man listened to Jesus, he believed he had obeyed those five rules of God. He tells Jesus that he had obeyed them all his life. He honestly believed he had done that. It's so easy for us to think we are good because we do some good things. But Jesus here is saying we need to look deeper than what we think and how that shows itself in what we do. Jesus here tells the young man that he had given the wrong answer to Jesus. Though he knew that God requires perfect obedience, he wrongly thought he not only could keep the rules of God, but that he actually did keep the rules of God. So we learn that he thought he was good because he was keeping God's rules. But just in case he was missing something, he thought if there was, Jesus would be able to show him, confident, of course, that he could then do it. You see, what made his answer wrong was not in thinking that it was important to obey the rules of God, but making his doing of that important. He had done it, and he would be able to do anything else Jesus said needed to be done. That's how he looked at God's rules. He had a wrong view of how good he was. And Jesus' question was to help him to see that. But his answer showed that he didn't see it. And that's why his answer was wrong. Jesus showed him his heart, showed him that sin was a deeper problem than just doing things wrong, and that being good and loving God was more than obeying the rules of God. So Jesus told him, go sell all, give the money away, then come back and follow me. This made the young man very sad, and he walked away. Why was he sad? Because he had a lot of money, and he couldn't give up his wealth for the forever life he wanted. He couldn't give it up for Jesus, even though he called Jesus good teacher. And therefore Jesus could not and would not lead him wrong. What was Jesus doing when he said, go and sell everything and give it to the poor? Jesus is not saying that this is what everyone is to do to receive eternal life or everlasting life. Jesus is not saying that you can buy your way to heaven. Jesus is not saying that loving the poor and caring for them no matter what it costs us is the way to have peace with God and to live with him for all time. That's not what Jesus is saying to this young man. What Jesus is saying is that many good people don't see how bad they really are. He knows that there is always something we love more than God, and that even when we think we are doing what God's rules say, we hide from the truth that we are not good within, that we don't think that only God is good, that we are there with him, that we are good too. This is how Jesus showed the rich young ruler that there were things he loved not just as much as God, but more than God, and that therefore he was not as good as he thought. When he tested himself against the rules of God, he made the test too easy. But God never does. Do you know this? That we are not the one who examines our life? Or to put it another way, we're not the one who says that our life is good. It is God. Do we know that the pass mark of that test is not what we think is good, but the character of God, what he is like, for he is good? Do we know that good enough is never good enough? It must be perfect obedience of God's rules, by which we show that there is only one God, and in this way that we want to show how great and perfect he is, and that we love him perfectly. But when we start thinking like that, the way things truly are, we discover we have a problem. We can never perfectly obey God's rules, not even the ones that make for love and good friendship between people. So that's the big problem, and the question still remains. But here Jesus helps us also to see the right question. It's not the question the young man was asking. It's the question that the friends of Jesus, his disciples, asked. And now they asked it right away when they said to Jesus, who then can be saved? If we can't do what brings life for all time, if not even a religious, moral, and successful young man cannot do it, then what hope is there for anyone? Who can save us? Who can bring us into this for all time life? That's the real question. And the answer is standing before them. God has mercy, and he can work miracles. He can save people who cannot save themselves, no matter how good they try to be. If the answer was in what we need to do, then there is nothing we can do. It is impossible to become God's friends and to be part of his forever kingdom. But that problem disappears when we look to God to do it. God can do what we cannot do. In fact, he has done it by his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus had pointed this out to the rich young ruler at the beginning. He said, "No one is good except God." Jesus was telling him that when he called Jesus good teacher, was he really saying, did he believe that Jesus is God? He didn't understand, but that's the point Jesus was trying to make. That's where he and we need to start, where all people need to start, with Jesus. He is the one who perfectly obeyed the rules of God, and he did it for people who cannot do it perfectly. Jesus said to this young man, and he still says it today, "Follow me," which means trust in me with your whole life and afterlife. For God saves people who trust and follow Jesus. The right question then for us to ask of Jesus is this: will you save me? Will you have mercy on me? Will you forgive me and make me one of your followers? If you ask those questions with your heart, you will not go away sad like the rich young ruler did. Quite the opposite. And you will know forever life with God. May God help you to know his mercy in Jesus. If you want to ask more about that, talk to someone here this night who has already tried to talk to you about Jesus. They will be very happy to tell you more. This is the Jesus we worship, the Jesus who has given us peace in life and hope after death in the life to come. Let us pray. We thank you for the questions of this rich young man who was a ruler in the church of his day. And though it showed that his heart was not right, they're the questions often we find ourselves asking too. Thank you for showing us, Lord Jesus, that it's not about what we do or think we can do or believe what we have done for God, that this does not change our problem of sin, which causes our fear, our doubt, and rightly so. For God cannot have peace with sin. But we thank you that you are the answer. You are the one who has done what is needed. And all we need to do is ask you for it, to be given to us. Help us to think through this. Help us to know you in this way. Make us your true followers, believing in you, serving you. Give us that mercy, O God, for we ask it in Jesus' name, the name of your Son. Amen. Well, if we think about all of that, we will want to sing God's praise again. And that's what we like to do as we finish our time of worship with God. And we're going to sing the song, "Great God of Wonders, all your ways are worthy of yourself divine, and all the glories of your grace among your other wonders shine. Who is a pardoning God like you, or who has grace so rich and free?" God pardons those who believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sin, not in what we do, but what he has done for us. So let's sing "Great God of Wonders."